Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Hey, my goodness. Here we are. Big shout out to Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world, our radio audience, and the Gulf Coast.
Yes.
Every day, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. We're so honored to be there with our sponsors and our partners in your living room every single weekday. And so make sure you catch us there. If you don't catch us on the radio, we're going to be in your living room talking to you, hopefully giving you a light perspective. And I think about hope, and that's what I wanted to talk about in this part of the program, is about hope, because everything about our walk with God is about hope. And, you know, recently politics took over that word and used it. And the word is so powerful and people are so desperate for hope. They went after that. A majority of Americans went after that. But now they realize that it was the kind of hope that disappoints. It wasn't the hope that's in God, because there is a hope that disappoints, because hope is defined as a desire with an expectation of receiving, getting that which you desire. You think about that. It's not just like, it's not a daydream. It's actually, I have a specific hope that this is going to happen. And so you got a clarity, and we talked about vision earlier in the program, John did. And so he tells us, he says, listen, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. So it's not a mystery in the context of it. Like, I know what I'm hoping for.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I know what this hope's inside of me. And you have to be very specific of that. And I can't wait to begin to talk about the fourth dimension and Young E Cho. And this is so exciting to be just that. But it makes me think about Abraham, the father of faith. When you think about, you know, I think it's at, Romans chapter 4. When, you know, this is a man who understood hope. He was called out. The Lord spoke to Abram at that time, but we're just going to call him Abraham through this talk. And this is, at this point, there is no paradigm. There is no right God paradigm on the earth. But God was going to begin to reveal himself to this man called Abraham. And in that, he had to actually believe what God was saying. He had to just, despite, because there is no paradigm. Understand, there is no paradigm for him. He's not able to go, I'm going to turn on a television, I'm going to turn on the radio, I'm going to go talk to somebody, I'm going to talk to an elder, I'm going to talk to my father. I mean, his father had all these other gods, you know. It was not, it just, there was no, he just had to hear and believe God. Mm-hmm. And then he heard the voice of the Lord come to him, and the Lord said to him this. He said, get up, and I want you to go, and I will show you. It wasn't like, okay, you know, this is, I'm painting a picture where you're going to go. This is the roadmap, you know, Google Maps or, you know, whatever. It was just, you got to have faith. You got to have faith that what my plans for you are greater than your plans for yourself. And my ability to lead you is greater than Satan's ability to deceive you. You got to have hope in God. And understand, it doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter if everybody in your whole community, like it was for Abraham, don't know God, don't believe God. If you believe God, you have hope in God. When God, understand, if he holds the universe together, he breathed life into your body, and you're alive because he's good and he's faithful and he's merciful and he wants a relationship with you, you can believe him. You can have hope in God. God will not disappoint you. He may disappoint, you may be disappointed about a father treating you as the son or the daughter you are, but you're not understanding discipline at the time. He's bringing you into the fulfillment of the desires of your heart that lined up with what he has planned for you. But not understanding that, you think, well, I'm disappointed. Well, you're disappointed because you're misunderstanding. He loves you so much, he wants to make you a son. He wants to make you a daughter. And so he had hope. He had hope. And the fact is, he says, listen, the reason why his name went from Abram to Abraham, because that means father of many. That means father of many, because this is what God told him. He says, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. I mean, think about that. He says, look at the stars. And he says, can you count these? He says, no. He says, that's how many children I'm going to give you. He says, look at the sand. He says, can you count that? No. Well, that's how many children I'm going to give you. Children I'm going to give you. It's like, whoa. And then He can't have children. He can't, I mean, he's going through life and it's like, my goodness, I know that the Lord told me I'm supposed to have my own business. I know the Lord showed me, stadiums. I know the Lord shown me that I'm supposed to be pastor in a church, or I'm supposed to have a wife and this is supposed to happen, or I'm supposed to have children, or, whatever. But it's like, it's not happening. Why isn't it happening? And understand that it's God's going to fulfill exactly what he said. If you maintain your hope in God, which is your faith in God. And so Abraham went through his whole life, and imagine, because we only live that long, but back then they lived a little bit longer than we live at this particular time. And he went to 90 years old. He went into his 90s. Mm-hmm. And it hadn't happened yet. How many people go, I'm 30 years old and, I'm at the end of my life, mm-hmm. and it's just not going to happen for me. I'm 40 years old. It's not going to happen for me. I'm 60 years old. It's not going to happen. He was 90. He was 90 years old. And even though he had these circumstances, even though, physically to be able to have a child, your body has to participate and your wife's body has to participate in the process. It got to the point that where, he tried to make it happen early on through some other means. And that just caused all kinds of problems. And those problems are still here today. It's Ishmael and all those things. But God still was faithful. Even in the midst of all that, he was fully persuaded. I mean, against all hope, when everything's coming against you, to say, this is not going to work out, you can still maintain your hope. You just don't have hope in that. You don't have hope in this. You don't have hope in your body to be able to do it, maybe. But you have hope in God, that God's able to do what he said he's going to do. And God's looking for someone who just begins to get hope. We saw a great use of the word hope over this nation, and you saw the desire of the people. That's all we want. All we want is hope, But you saw that's a hope that disappoints. Look what's happened. Look what's happened. But understand that we can see that the people of America, what we're really saying is we do want hope, but there's a hope that doesn't disappoint. And the definition of hope is a desire inside of you for something with an expectation of obtaining that desire. And what you're seeing right now, when you had an expectation of getting something that you hope for, that it doesn't happen, then you're disappointed. So that's a hope that disappoints. So that means that maybe we had our faith in the wrong thing. We didn't have it in God. We had it in politics. We had it in leaders. We had it in concepts, ideas, schemes, political speech, whatever it is. I don't know. But when you have faith in God, you have hope in God. Abraham, against all hope, he faced the facts. He faced these facts that I cannot do this myself. I've even tried it once. It didn't work out. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead in regards to being able to have a child. He faced the fact that his wife, Sarah, that her womb was dead. It was not, would not have another child. It doesn't work. But he's still in the midst of facing the facts. He didn't bury his head in the sand of denial. He didn't hide himself from his realities. He didn't say, oh, no, don't say that. You're going to mess with my faith. He looked his reality dead in the eye, and he said, but still, my God's able to deliver. My God told me that I'm going to be the father of many nations, that I can't count the stars in the sky or the sand of the sea, and that's how my children are going to be. And because he was fully persuaded that God was able to do what he said he could do, despite all the circumstances, God says he accredited it his entire life as the father of faith. This is like the father of faith in whose bosom will be welcomed in heaven. And what did he do? He said, you know what? I'm just going to keep hope. I'm going to keep hope. I'm going to keep hope alive, but it's hope in God, the kind of hope that does not disappoint. And if you haven't yet got into the Word of God yet to find out what he said, listen, you don't have anything to lock into. You got to get into the Word and get into the promises of God and realize he's not a man that he would lie, or the son of man that he would change his mind. God himself does not speak and not act or promise and not fulfill. All of his promises in Christ Jesus are yes.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can a student in a public school give a Bible to another student? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
in high school, if other vendors are setting up tables promoting certain things for kids, can you also set up a table to hand out Bibles? And the other question is, can a Christian child going to a high school hand out a Bible as a gift without any problem?
Those are both great questions. And Glenn, with regard to student-on-student distribution of religious literature, of giving away a Bible, they absolutely have the right to do that. The Supreme Court in 1969 said students do not shed the right to freedom of speech at the schoolhouse gate. That includes distributing religious literature or a Bible. I think the best way to do this is student-on-student distribution. The Bible Club may be having an outreach. I think that's the best way to approach it. With regard to the table setups, you'd have to argue that the school has established a limited public forum, which would allow for the distribution of religious literature by outside groups.
For more information about student rights, visit us on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
There's nothing like wisdom from those who have gone before us. I mean, think about it. Reverend Billy Graham has reached the world. He's being interviewed by Greta Van Susteren here on Fox News, and she's asking him a very important question. It's something that we talk about all the time about an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. But listen to the wisdom of Reverend Billy Graham as she asks him a very important question. We'll be right back.
If you were to do things over again, would you do it differently?
Yes. I would study more. I would pray more. Travel less. Take less speaking engagements. I took too many of them in too many places around the world. If I had to do over again, I'd spend more time in meditation and prayer and just telling the Lord how much I love Him and adore Him. And I'm looking forward to the time we're going to spend together for eternity.
Why would you speak less when you had such an enormous audience and people listening? Why would you want to speak less?
I didn't mean that I would speak less in these great stadiums. I meant that I would speak less at all kinds of conferences and things that I was invited to throughout the world, especially in Great Britain and the United States, because I'd get up and travel to those places, and I didn't have time to think and study and pray, and I needed time for that. And if I had to do it over again, I would try to organize it much better.
I mean, think about it. All this wisdom, and the Word of God tells us, imitate those that have gone before us. We can either start again like we have not borrowed the experience and grown from those wisdom that has gone before us, such as Reverend Billy Graham, or we could say, you know what? He's right. I'm going to apply the wisdom that he's learned in his life, and I'm going to begin to abide. In my schedule, in my time, it's going to be specifically how I love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. If you don't have a plan right now how to abide with God, this is what we talk about continually. Go to iabide.org. iabide.org and request your simple plan today that we have available for you so you can begin to walk in this wisdom today. It's iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Guarding your hearts. I want to speak briefly about the other topics we'll have to get to in our next program, because you're hearing a lot of pretty major things right now, and I want to be able to encourage you how to guard your heart. I mean, think about that. Guarding your heart. You see on television today, late night, if you're actually not sleeping, they have commercials on that says, are you suffering from anxiety? And they must be selling a lot of stuff because, you know, I'll see it 6 months down the road and it's still running.
Still there? Mm-hmm.
And you probably are. If you don't know how to guard your heart, you probably are suffering from all kinds of anxiety. But, you know, God's word tells us very specifically how we can guard our heart. And I'm looking at in Philippians chapter 4, and he talks about in 4, it is Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. with an exclamation mark. Think about that, just rejoicing. And he's like making a point. He said, let your gentleness be evident to everyone. The Lord is near you. Think about, what should you fear if God's near you? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And by doing all this, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Think about that. I mean, there's something you have to do. Yeah, the peace of God will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. If what? If you learn how to rejoice and realize God has overcome this life. He's overcome this life. There's nothing to be afraid of. The root of fear is the fear of death or the fear of loss. And as long as you're afraid to die, you don't understand salvation yet. You don't understand that we are in this life, but we're not of this life, but God has prepared a place for you. And the moment that you do die, if you have made Jesus the Lord of your life, you're going to be present with God forever. You win, or loss or injury. And it's like, right now, the church is being so persecuted in the Middle East. I mean, who are we in America to say anything about what's taking place? But even in that, and I believe that Paul wrote this from prison, understanding that we're supposed to rejoice always. And he said again, he says, I'm telling you, rejoice. And how can you rejoice under these circumstances when darkness is pushing and doing these wild and crazy things right now? It's because you've already overcome in Christ Jesus. All we're doing at this point is letting everybody know that God loves them, God has a plan for their life, and they don't have to choose darkness. And though they're being used by the hordes of hell today, they can make a choice to leave those ranks and enter into the army of God, the family of God, to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. They can get saved. I mean, think about it. That's why we're here. It's not about white picket fences. It's about gold streets. It's about heaven. It's about a place where there's no more tears and no more pain. And it's like, man, I want to see some happy Christians. Yeah, we can look at all this stuff, but we're not concerned about that. We're not concerned about the fact that ourselves taking a loss. We're concerned about our brothers and sisters going through suffering. Yeah, we're concerned about tragedies and things that we're going through, but we're not losing our joy in the context of this, because even if they take my life, and think about this, in Hebrews, when he writes to the church, he says, listen, I believe it's in Hebrews chapter 10, he says, listen, I see where they took all your stuff and all your things, and you went through all this persecution, and you didn't shrink back in the faith. That's the reality of this journey sometimes. Sometimes it ends up like that. And when you talk about anxiousness, I mean, think about the definition of being anxious. He says, don't be anxious about anything. And anxiousness is defined as full of mental distress. You ever talk to those people? I mean, they're biting their fingernails. They're biting their toenails. They're telling you all these problems. It's like, what are you worried about there? Nothing. Like nothing. Your mind is filled with anxious distress. And he says, it says definition is a mind full of mental distress and uneasiness because of fear of danger or misfortune, greatly worried. And he's like, you don't have, he says, cheer up. He says, these things are going to happen. Look up, your redemption is near. Don't buy in so much to this life that you forget about the life after. It's eternal life with Jesus Christ. Some of the words that mean the same thing as anxiousness is concerned, disturbed, apprehensive, fearful, uneasy, dread. People say, I'm not afraid, I just dread it. I just dread doing that. That's the definition of fear and anxiety. So many people are moving and like, you know, they regret yesterday and they dread tomorrow. Mm. And what that is somebody living in a constant state of fear. God exists in the today. He exists in the now. He said, Moses, when you go tell them and you talk about me, you tell them that I am, not that I was or I will be. I'm your ever-present help in time of trouble. Today is the day of salvation. You have to learn to live in the now. If you're living your life regretting yesterday and dreading tomorrow, you're captive by fear and anxiety. And he says, listen, be anxious for nothing. for no reason. Just don't even. There's no good reason to be anxious. Anxious people try to make you anxious. You minister to them, you help them out, and finally you separate yourself from them. If they refuse to break free from the captivity of Lucifer, who has them captive with fear, when only thing that pleases God is faith, you got to get in an area that, with people that are going to encourage you and move out of that anxiety. That's one of the reasons why we have VFN TV and the daily radio program. Yes, we look the truth square in its eye, but we tell you the truth of the Word of God and say, you know what, we have a biblical perspective of this. We're not going to be anxious about it. We're not going to be fearful or worried about it. Then he says, but in everything by prayer, which we always talk about abiding with God. We talk about spending time with God at iabide.org. With petitions. Think about this. With prayer and petitions and thanksgiving. You're just a thankful person. You're grateful. You know how to be grateful. He says, present your request to the Lord. And the definition of petitions, just so you know it, is a request made from someone, some desire that you have, especially a respectful and honorable request. In other words, it's very serious, but you're understanding you're talking to God or to someone who's in authority, and that God is in authority. And so when you're talking, it's not just like, give me this, give me that. You're really thinking this thing through, and it's very specific, and you're thinking God, and you're bringing all those things to Him, and you're allowing that to be with the Lord. And then you say, you know what, after I've rejoiced, after I've prayed, after I brought my petitions to God, and I'm being thankful for God, and God's got me, I'm not concerned about today, yesterday or tomorrow, because God has guided, guess what? That's when the peace of God will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. It's not like, I'm a Christian, therefore I have peace. No, this is the journey to peace, what I was talking about. So I just want to say, you know, rid yourself of this anxiety. It's of the devil. It is not any, it's meant to rattle your life, rattle your cage, and end your life before it's time to blow out your arteries, to blow out your heart, to blow out your mind, to ruin your family and ruin your business. So, you know what? I'm going to live a life of peace. I'm not going to let the enemy torment me. I'm going to begin to dedicate my life to God. I'm not going to be anxious about anything. I'm going to rejoice always. I'm going to pray to God. I'm going to abide with Him. I'm going to make my petitions known to Him. I'm going to be thankful and grateful. And guess what? Then the peace of God is going to guard my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. God bless.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Don't forget, you can carry us with you everywhere you go with our app. You can go to VFNTV.com and download our app. We have it for all the different devices that are out there. And you want to be encouraged, you know, turn on, you want to change your workplace. You want to change the atmosphere of your home. Turn on VFN Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and just let it go. Just let it go and just begin to watch things change with your children, watch things change in your life and with your marriage and your business and your workplace. And I'm telling you that the truth sets you free.
That's
and
right.
It sets your business free. And it's just a conversation.
I love VFN Radio. You know, I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it, because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio or an iSomething or and something, and put it on your desk at work, and you know, put it by the kitchen sink, and just carry it with you or whatever, and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it. 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world. You can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment that you just like catch a half of it,
mm-hmm.
don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment. The whole segment. And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices. And podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important, because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker in the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee mm-hmm. while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. I mean, really mean it. You know, not, they aren't faking it. It's just like, mm-hmm. what?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
By the grace of God, we're going to talk about today how love for Jesus is the foundation for any work that we will ever do for him. You know what I mean? Yeah, we have to be in love with him. You know, you can love something or someone, but there's quite a difference when you are in love, you know? Mm-hmm. And we want to be in love. We have so much to be in love about. And I think that we don't sometimes meditate and take the time to pause on the goodness mm-hmm. of who he is. You know, oftentimes when you go back and you think about certain relationships in your life and you review, and you start seeing some of the encounters and some of the things that you experience, some of the highs and some of the lows, and you review them, you realize, wow, man, I a sense of gratitude, mm-hmm. love gets rekindled for that person or people in your life, and you realize, man, this is pretty intimate, this is pretty good, this is, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, there's a warmthness that occurs in your heart again mm-hmm. For the people that have impacted you in that way. The same is true when you know, we have a relationship with the Lord. We mm-hmm. we are to remember the wonders of the Lord. We are to meditate on his goodness. We are to enter his courts with thanksgiving. And one of the greatest ways that you can be so filled with the majesty and the awesomeness of God is to recount all of the ways mm-hmm. of how you're grateful for him. I mean, you can spend an hour. You can spend mm-hmm. over an hour just thanking him for everything that he has done to you, for you, and through you.
Changes your perspective.
Completely, doesn't yeah. it? Completely. And there's something about gratitude that's so important. There's something about gratitude that just begins to open you up. But, you know, I was abiding in Revelation, and basically, you know, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. I love the book of mm-hmm. Revelation. It's the last book in the Bible, and it's the revelation of Jesus. And in the second and in the third chapter of Revelation, it's pretty interesting. You know, we find that Jesus reveals a few things here. You know, there's a pattern that you'll find. He kind of first says who he is. Mm-hmm. Then he normally, you know, what good he sees the church doing, because it's the seven churches, right? The first, you know, and then what they need to fix, you know, what's wrong. Right. And then you find that with each church, he offers a reward for those that overcome. He offers a reward. Mm. And this is really, really interesting. But when we look at, you know, Revelation 2, the church of Ephesus, we notice a few things, right? This is amazing to me, but he says, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks among the golden lampstands. Oh. He says, I know your deeds, okay? Your hard work, check, and your perseverance. I mean, these are people that had deeds that were good. Mm-hmm. Their actions were right. Mm-hmm. These were folks that worked hard. You know, a lot of people, you know, love to enjoy the things of God, but they don't want to invest any kind. It's going to require your life. It's going to require hard work. Right. We're working hard. It requires hard work. And he knows your perseverance. And perseverance is so important, because no matter where you are in your relationship with God, you're going to need to persevere. This is a real spiritual battle. If you have not noticed this already, here's a little clue. Here's a clue. The enemy, Satan, does not like you.
No.
And the minute that you have made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, the you know, he wants to steal you away.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to steal you away. And so mm-hmm. you have to persevere. You have to press on, press through, keep on, you know, moving forward
mm-hmm.
because he's trying to do everything he can to hinder you, to entangle you, and to stop you from going hard after God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he wants to do. And so this church is one that perseveres. They're saying, hey, we're perseverance doesn't it means that you're actually pressing through something that's difficult. It's not, you know, that's the definition. You're pushing through something that's pushing back against you, but you're going to keep going, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then he says, I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. And you have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. So it's like, man, these folks are serious. These folks are really, you know, they're the real deal. And, you know, what's important, if we start looking at that, is that nothing escapes the eyes of God. Everything is before him. He knows all things. He sees all things. You know, he knows our thoughts before we're even going to think about them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you can't escape him, right? And so he talks about all the things he knows. But this is what's really amazing. Jesus clearly saw that the church was working. He saw their deeds. He saw all of this stuff. But yet he had this one thing against them. Here's another clue. It's not good when Jesus has something against you. You know what I'm saying? But I've seen all your perseverance. I've seen that, that you're here. You're going after your church that's,
mm-hmm.
you know, making it happen. You're preaching the gospel. You're serving folks. You're loving on people, right?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But he says, yet I have this against you. You have forsaken your first love. That word forsaken means abandoned. You've abandoned your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Remember the height. Remember that place of intimacy. We're talking about hunger and passion. Remember the time that you were passionate for me. Remember the time that you were hungry for me. Remember the time that although your body was physically wasted, you wanted to stay up a little later just to be with me and my word, right?
Mm.
That you wanted to go harder after me, even though you were invited to go out and have a meal and do something else, you really wanted to, you declined all that stuff and said, I want to spend time with the Lord. I want to just read my Bible right now. I just want to be amongst my brothers and sisters that are going after him. You know what I mean? So he says, you have this one thing, I have this one thing against you. You've left your place of intimacy and that place for love. And this was interesting. I saw this. A friend of mine, Ryan Bruss, posted this, and I thought this was so cool. I saw this the other day, and I think it just resonates with everything that we're saying here today. It says, passion to do the work of the Lord can never become greater than passion for the Lord of the work.
Mm.
I'm going to say that again. Passion to do the work of the Lord can never become greater than passion for the Lord of the work. And, you know, you're working hard and you're doing things for God and all this stuff is great and wonderful, but where's the passion for the Lord?
Yeah.
Where's the passion for him?
Yeah, it reminds me of what Jesus also said in Matthew 7,
mm-hmm.
which is real similar to what he just said in Revelations. He says, many will come to me on that day.
Mm.
He says, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesied? Did we not cast out demons? Didn't we perform these miracles? Didn't we, you know, do this awesome radio program? Didn't we do, you know, whatever God's called you to do?
Right. Did you love?
Yeah, exactly. But then he says, but then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you.
Mm.
In other words, you never spent time with me. You didn't abide with me.
Wow.
I don't know who are you?
Who are you?
You did all this stuff, but I don't know who the heck you are.
Mm.
Isn't that wild?
That's scary. That puts a fear of God in me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't get caught up and lost in the work and forget who you're doing it for.
Yeah. Right. If you think about the one who is love, are we loving? Because we can so do something, like you're saying, it's like the foundation of what we're doing has to be love. It has to be rooted in love. And so often it's like, that's been a constant, like you're saying, just the fear of the Lord. So it's like, why am I doing this? Because if I'm doing it for love, it doesn't matter how it's received. It doesn't matter what's said about it or not. Because if we're doing it for Jesus, if we're doing it in the root of love,
right,
we're just choosing to love.
Yeah. You know, your passion, you know, for God is your fuel to just keep moving and doing things for him. You know, you're just in love with him. So there's no cost, if you will. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, I mean, there is a cost. Don't get me wrong, but it's almost like, man, I'm glad to pay the cost. This means like nothing to me because I'm just so in love for you. And that's what love does. Love causes you to pay, you know, exorbitant amount of prices. When you think about a parent and what a parent is willing to sacrifice for a parent that loves their child, right? A parent that truly loves your child, they go through the extraordinary lengths. They make amazing sacrifices. It costs them their time, their energy. Everything. It costs them everything to really love on that child and be there for that child and help that child develop and grow, right?
Yeah.
To a, you know, godly young man, godly young woman. It costs you everything.
Yeah.
It really does. And so with that, you don't mind paying the price. What parent? Mm-hmm. What parent says, well, you know, it cost me my life that he's a godly son or daughter, you know, and I'm still upset about that because I could. No, your parents going to say that. Right. They're going to say, I'll pay it all over again. I'll sacrifice whatever I have to sacrifice again because it was worth it. Because it was my love for my son. It was my love for my daughter that you know, fueled me to do what I, you know, did and say what I had to say and make whatever sacrifices were necessary because love was the driving force of what motivated me to do.
Right, yeah. Right. And it's amazing because like you're saying that when you really see all the things that like you're saying, it's just, it doesn't matter. You lay down, like you're saying, we've talked about just serving the love. And it's just like recently what God's been showing me, about Paul. And so many of the awesome things that Paul was used to do and the hardships that he went through, he didn't care. Mm. He understood the fact that, you know, this is my service. I feel...
I was called. Yeah. This is my lot in life. Yeah. I love him.
And to me, that's such a perspective that comes from love because we were talking about that recently, is he had such a love encounter with Jesus is that even in his brokenness and his utter need for Jesus... God still loved him, and through that love encounter, he was able to do so much and go through so much persecution, but he was like, I feel an honor that I'm even called to serve him.
Right.
And it's just like, that's that love perspective, because when we begin to do things from love, it totally revolutionized what it is that we're doing, because it just doesn't matter, because we're all doing it for him.
Right.
Absolutely. When we come back from the break, we're going to continue to talk about love being the absolute foundation for any work that we do for God. It all starts and it's all about love for him. We were just talking about love for God, and this awesome quote that says, passion to do the work of the Lord can never become greater than passion for the Lord of the work. See, that's the order. The order is passion for God first. And so you see workers, I mean, working is good for God. I mean, doing something for God, that's a beautiful thing. But here's the difference. Lovers work because of love. That's why lovers work because they are filled with love for God, and they know that themselves are, you know, that they are loved.
Yeah.
But workers work to earn love. And we don't need to, you know, we're not earning anything with God. He's already done everything that you know, we need. We just need to love him.
That's right.
You know, enjoy him.
Mm.
And when we enjoy him in his presence and who he is, then we just can't help but to do something for him. It's like, I've got to do something for you. Can I do anything for you?
Yeah.
I'd be happy to be a gatekeeper in your house. What can I do for you?
Right.
Because I'm so filled with love. and gratitude. See, that's the difference. When love is in, it's like, whatever.
Right.
Clean this, pick up that. What, right. I mean,
pass
what?
Me the broom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me do anything. I just want to be a servant. And that's what minister is. A minister is a servant of the Lord. He wants to serve God. She wants to serve God with everything that they have in any capacity that there is. They just want to show some sort of gratitude and says, if this life, if whatever this little frail life can do for you, if you would allow me the privilege, please. And that's you know, where we need to be. But it was interesting how he saw all this stuff that the church in Ephesus was doing. And you look at, you know, a lot of the American church is like, seemingly on surface, everything looks like, wow, all this stuff is happening and the gospel's being preached and people are being touched and, you know, all this stuff. But where's the love? You know, is there passion behind that for him, for the Lord? And this is a reminder to us not to abandon that. Right. Not to forsake that, not to give that up. This is what he says, though. He says, look, remember the heights to which you have fallen.
Yeah.
Look back. Look back at that time. And maybe you're listening to us or seeing us today, and you're like, you know, man, I remember that. If your reference to when you were the hottest for God was when you got saved 20 years ago, you know, that's a clue. If your reference to, oh yeah, that time of the Lord was 5 years ago, a month ago, I mean, that can change. It says, remember what, go back to that place. Go back to where you were. It says, remember the height from which you have fallen and do what? Repent.
Right.
Repent and do what? Repent and do the things you did at first. Do what you did before. What was happening in your life? What were you doing? And you'll realize that, yeah, at that time of my life, I was probably more humble. I was probably more desperate.
Yeah.
You know, I had greater need for God. Nothing else mattered because we needed to hear God. So we focused our life and our family. Mm-hmm. You know, we told our family we couldn't do these things. You know, I know that everyone's going here and doing that, but right now, we just need to focus our 100% attention on the Lord. We're going to spend time in the Word of God as a family. You know, all these different things.
Yeah.
What were you doing? What were you doing?
Right.
And you're almost sure that if you start inventory your life, you know, I've had opportunity to speak with folks. You inventory your life, you realize somewhere down that path, you got tripped up. Mm-hmm. Somewhere down that path, you got blessed, and maybe you were overtaken by the blessing. And so now work has overtaken your ability to really spend time with God the way you want it to, or you got overtaken by something else, and it's like everything else crowded out that passion for him. So he says, repent, stop doing what you're doing because it ain't working. And if you continue to do work for God without a passion for him, then what becomes just religious works.
Yeah.
And God's like, you know, I really don't need that. You know, you're doing stuff, you know, but it's like, you know, when someone's really doing something for you because they love you or because it's like, this is the obligation. I know what I'm supposed to do.
They're going to remind you what they did for you later.
You know, it's like, you know, I'm just kind of doing it. This is what I'm supposed, as opposed to, man, Steve, I really want to do this for you.
Just because.
Yeah. Because I love you. You know, I want to do this for you.
And you've said before too, as far as just, you know, questioning, okay, why is it the reason why we're doing what we're doing? And so, like you're saying, you know, we can, somewhere along the lines, we've gotten tripped up. I don't know, me personally too, it's just like in that beginning moment of our salvation, it's just like, I'm desperate. I'm just, all of a sudden you realize how much you need God and you're hungry for God. And, you know, pride can kind of begin to creep in, and all of a sudden we begin to lean on what we know or what we've learned instead of the God that revealed it to us, or Jesus that taught us.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, don't lean on what you've learned. Don't lean on what you can do. Lean on the one who made it known to you.
It's so powerful. Exactly. Because you know that something's wrong there when you begin to, you know, dust your Bible off, maybe you begin to start reading it, and you automatically assume that you know what the scriptures are saying or what God's saying to you that day because you've read that story before.
Right.
Oh, I've heard that message preached before. Oh, I know the five loaves, the two fish. Yeah. No. The word's not fresh to you anymore. Your heart's not soft anymore. You're not eagerly anticipating what God's going to reveal and unveil to you afresh this morning. Yeah, I've read this 1,000 times, but Lord, you're God. Yeah. You can do anything. Here I am. Speak to me. Mm-hmm. Stir my heart. But this is what happens. He says, if you don't repent, I'm going to come and remove your lampstand.
Yeah,
I'm going to remove your lamp. The lampstand is to give light. Mm-hmm. And if you have no intimacy and you have no light, there's no need for the lampstand. Listen, I'm encouraged to say, let's go back. Let's return to our first love. Let's remember the heights of which we have fallen, and let's return to a place where we can be passionately in love for God, serving him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, mm-hmm. and saying, God, here I am. I want to know you more. I'm not satisfied. I don't want to just love you. I want to fall in love with you more and more and more. Listen, you only have one chance to walk on this earth. No one's promised tomorrow. Seize the day. Seize the moment and say, God, I'm not satisfied with religion. I'm not satisfied with just doing stuff. I want to just live for you and love you with everything that's in my being.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Oh my goodness. Listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I like to... Yeah, a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it. Mm-hmm. And you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcasts. Mm-hmm. Just go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast. Click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded into your stuff somehow, and you can play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
Download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that, buy the tape. We're giving it to you. It's yours. Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it. You know, the Lord says if you can see it in your mind, if you can believe it and you confess it, you've been diving.
Yeah. I'm thinking about it right now.
Are you?
Yeah.
You know, it makes me think about when Bill took us out diving. You remember that?
Yeah.
Remember? He was so kind.
Yeah.
He took us right there to the USS Massachusetts in the Gulf of Mexico. And we went down there. I'm not going to say what you were doing.
On the radio. What do you mean? I was diving.
You were chipping something off the side of the ship. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I was collecting shells.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right. I don't know if it can go anywhere now. I don't have a steering wheel anymore. Anyway, so we were down there diving. And it's just brilliant. It's just so brilliant. Listen to this. John, there was fishermen. We're down 25 feet. The Gulf of Mexico looks like a desert. That's what it looks like. And if it has something down there like the USS Massachusetts, which I wasn't driving. I don't know what happened, but it's down there, right?
It's down there.
And so you're basically walking around in a desert, and you're looking at this huge battleship that's down here. You know, part of it's buried in the sand, and part of it actually sticks out the top of the water. Man, pay attention when you're in your boat. I never would have thought a battleship would have actually hit the bottom of my boat. But anyway, so... you sunk my battleship. Remember that? Anyway.
Yeah.
And so here we are. We dive in. You know, Bill is so kind to take us out, you know, in his boat. And we go off and we dive. Remember the current, how strong it was?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Oh, it took
it took all my air.
It took you a whole tank of gas, a whole tank of air just to get back to the thing, you know?
Yeah.
The current was just so strong, John. It was just pushing us and pushing us and pushing us. And John, Pat was going to, this is back when Pat was, you know, Mr. Hercules. Now he and I both we would float.
Yeah. I just let it take me.
Yeah, like, back then he couldn't float. Now he can float. You know what that means, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. you couldn't drown me if you tried. I just popped back up.
yeah.
And so Pat's just like burning. He's got his respirator on, or his respirator?
Yeah, respirator.
Okay. Yeah, his breathing apparatus. And he's like paddling. He's sucking air, trying to get back to the boat. And just the whole Gulf of Mexico is pushing him out.
Oh, regulator.
Respirator
is when you're.
I'm getting older.
He's getting a little bit older. And so, of course, Bill's just sitting there watching.
Yeah. Trying not to puke.
Yeah. Yeah. He was so seasick. He got.
Was Bill diving?
No. He was just standing there.
because
Oh, yeah. The wind was blowing that hair. And so, so we go out there. And it's pushing on me, and I just let God say, dude, pick me up in Mexico. I'm going with the current. And it did. It just shot me way out there. You know, I was out there with, like, you know, Jonah's well and stuff. You know, it was a great opportunity. Come swallow me now. And of course, Bill was kind to come pick us up. Yeah, but we were diving. So we're walking around this desert. It actually is surrounded by water, basically. You had this big battleship. It had some coral on it, and some coral was missing. I can't say why it was missing, but so we'll move on past
Eagle?
That.
Is that, oh my God.
No comment.
I would say, I just, you know, this is before he was discipled. and so it just dawned on me, because there was other people up there with Bill in the boat as we were walking around this desert bottom with the ship who were fishing. So we're swimming around these like baited hooks. These baited hooks are all around us, and we can see their boats up there and their fishing poles sticking out, and these lines are coming down, and they got a big piece of meat hanging on the end of it. And we're swimming all around. I'm thinking, I don't believe this is intelligent.
No.
And anyway, we had a great time, and Bill was just a trooper, you know, and the secret that we found out is that if you're starting to feel a little woozy, Bill taught us this, look at the horizon. Yeah. So when we came out of the water, you couldn't get his eyes off the horizon, could you?
Nope.
It was just, does not work at night.
Yeah, I'm just so glad that he didn't do what he felt like he was going to do, because we were in the water.
Yeah. Thank you.
That was wonderful. So if you ever get a chance to dive in the Emerald Coast, you've got to do it. It's pretty cool. We have the Oriskany, the USS Oriskany, mm-hmm. which, you know, I saw the Oriskany parked, you know, at the end of the pier, mm-hmm. you know, when they had it all scraped down, and it looked like a Scooby Doo type experience with that cartoon. It was a spooky looking boat, right? Just looking at it out of the water. I mean, it just looked scary. It was dark. It was rusted. They ripped everything off of it. It's just huge. I don't know what it was. I mean, Tracy could tell you what it was, because she did a whole story on it. And then they sunk it. They went out there and they sunk it.
I think it was an aircraft carrier.
Was it an aircraft carrier? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a big one.
It was big. And so you can actually John, we've got to do this. We can dive down to the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico. This thing's big. I mean, you got to go. You're at 80 feet or something when you just get to the top of the boat.
Yeah.
And it's this aircraft carrier. So you're looking at, you know, you have to go to 125, 150 feet possibly to get to the inside of it. And then you could swim around through all the crevices where your tank can get stuck. John, we got to do this, man.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, can I watch?
You know, Eddie, you told me Eddie was looking for other opportunities other than jumping outside. Eddie, this one's for you. Come on down. We'll go diving, Eddie. That would be totally, totally good.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You know, every one of us go through times in our life where it just seems hopeless. As a matter of fact, I remember watching young people who had on their windshields with vinyl lettering, the words were hopeless. I couldn't believe that. Why would you put that? Don't put that on your, you know, and I can understand. Maybe it's a cry of your heart. You're going, listen, I need hope. Well, I got news for you that right now on your on VFNTV.com or on your VFNTV app, and you can find it by going to your browser and type in VFNTV.com, and it'll lead you through the steps to be able to have it on your iPhone or your mobile device or your iPad or iPod or your all the wonderful stuff that they have out there. And so, but with that, you can get hope, because you got to understand that You know, when you think about Abraham, against all hope, in hope, he still believed. It's okay. A lot of times we're looking and saying, okay, I've looked at the evidence. I looked at my inabilities. I looked at my finances. I looked at my relationship. I looked at what everybody's saying about me. I've looked at all these different things. But you can do that. You can look at your reality. It's okay in God to look at your reality. And in the natural sense, it ain't going to happen.
Right.
But you still can have hope against that hope, but it's a different hope. It's called faith. It says, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And it's hope. It's that kind of hope. You know, inside of me, it hasn't manifested yet, but what I'm believing God for is going to come to pass. And, you know, and I have a dream. I literally have a dream that God is going to pour out a third great awakening. I know, obviously, you know, that, you know, the church is going to have to be, you know, in agreement with what God is saying. But I'm just believing you. That's why we're on VFN TV and VFN Radio, to be able to talk to you and encourage you. Listen, it's God's got good plans in store for you. Good plans in store for you. And I have a dream.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.